Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? Did you talk to somebody? Did you say hello to somebody? Good. So we have a conversation in our gospel reading, a conversation of two brothers, John and James, with Jesus. And they want to be part of his glorious kingdom. And they are asking that he grants them a privilege and honor of sitting one on his right hand side and the other on the left hand side in his glory. And they want to share in the glory of God. Quite an ambitious wish or desire. And Jesus actually doesn't condemn them for asking to be elevated to that glorious place. But instead of condemning them, he actually tells them how or what it takes to get to those places of glory. I think that seeking the glory of God is what God has invited all humanity to be part of. We are all invited to seek his glory. When we talk about the glory of God, we are actually talking about the goodness and the greatness of God. So every time you hear, or especially when we read scripture, when we talk about the glory of God, it's an affirmation of his greatness and his goodness. When we look at creation is an expression of the goodness and the greatness of God. We were created for the glory of God. In other words, through you and me, we can see God's goodness. We can see God's greatness. So when you look at someone, whether they are black, white, green, yellow, or whatever, you can say, wow, what a God. How great thou art. Because when we look at each other, we see the amazing greatness and goodness of God. That's the glory of God. When we talk about the glory of God, we talk about his beauty, his awesomeness. And so we are all invited to pursue this beauty, to pursue this greatness and this goodness. That's why the church is also invited to propagate social justice, because through social justice we are saying everyone, every person is invited to experience the goodness and greatness of God. When we talk about our salvation, we are affirming how good God is to all of us, how great he is to us that he came and saved our lives. So this is an idea that all of us ought to pursue greatness, God's goodness. All of us, in fact, we are here, we desire to be part of that glory. Glory, I want you to imagine glory, the glory of God. Look at this, look at the glory of God. It's imagination trying to encourage you, entice you, to seek this beauty of God, to seek this greatness of God. Oh my goodness, to bask in his beauty, to bask into his awesomeness, where his love and goodness and joy overwhelms all of us. And that's what the two brothers were desiring when they said to Jesus, please grant us this request. We want to sit next to you. We want to enjoy the goodness of the Lord, the sweetness of his presence, his loving embrace, his power and all that you are. We want to be there. Yes, it's a great desire. It's a good desire that Jesus quickly reminds the two that for you to get here, you need to drink the cup that I drink. You need to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized. Are you able to do that? Of course, brother said, yes, we are. Jesus is reminding them that it is good to aspire, it's good to desire, it's good to long, and you must actually. But you must also be willing to go through the process that elevates you to these places of glory. If you are going to attain or experience the goodness of God, the greatness of God, you must also be willing to go through the process that brings you to this level. And that's what Jesus is reminding the two and the other 10 of his disciples. Because if you want to achieve, you want to experience, or you want to attain this life that we aspire as a church, that we aspire as a people, we must be willing and ready to commit to all that takes us to that place of honor, the place of privilege, the place of glory. And he says, you must be a servant of them all. You must be willing to serve everyone. You must be the one who washes the feet of everyone. You must be the one that does all, if you like, the donkey work. You must be interested in the people, in the service of the people, for you to be elevated. So it's not just a wish. It must be accompanied by a commitment. You must do more. And that's what we read in the Old Testament. For Jesus to be where he is as the Savior of the world, for him to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he had to endure pain. And that's what Isaiah is describing about what elevated Jesus. It is the pain he went through for us on our behalf. It is how he bore our infirmities. It's how he took up all our weaknesses on him. It's how he took all the shame of humanity on him. And that is what elevated him. That he was elevated because he endured the cross. He endured death, the rejection, the pain, the suffering that he went through is what processed him to be glorified. He was glorified because he paid the price for each one of us. He was glorified because he endured for our sake, for the sake of humanity. And actually the gospel, or rather the second reading from Hebrews, he puts it very well. And I'll just reread again from the second reading about Jesus. Listen to this. Very interesting. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence, submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Look, he was designated by God that this is the place of glory. This is where you belong. But to get here, you have to offer prayers. You have to pray for the people. You have to go and die for them. He was elevated through a process of suffering, through the process of commitment to humanity. Not suffering unto himself, but suffering for us and on behalf of us, that we too may access the glory, the goodness, and the greatness of God. And so the invitation is for all of us. But the process is that we need to be servants. We need to be willing to do something. You see, I was one day talking to one person who in my community was considered as a great servant or a great leader. And he was admired. Everybody admires him. And then everybody just thought we thought he was a saint. He was such a wonderful man. And so one time I asked him, so what was your desire to be where he was about 87 years of age at that time. And I said, so what did you do to be where you are? He said, first, I did not aspire to be great. I did not aspire to be special. That was not my intention. My intention was to serve and do my best. So ultimately, it is the service, it is what he did for humanity that elevated him to a place of admiration, a place where everybody said, wow, what a man, what a woman. And I think most of the people that we celebrate in the church, like the saints and all the great women and men that served this church in the past, it's not like they were saying, oh, we want to be celebrated 200 years from now or 2,000 years from now. Their focus was at that time to serve. Think about Mother Teresa. I don't think Mother Teresa was saying, oh, I want the whole world to celebrate me. I don't think she had the ambition that I want my name to be known all over. No, that was her intention, was basically to do what needed to be done at the time. And that was serve, commit to the people, try to see how best you can help. And out of that servant leadership, out of her commitment, we celebrate her life today. We acknowledge the humility and the servitude that she gave the world. You see, the church is always ambitious. We always want the church to grow. We always want the church to have an impactful life in its community. We want to be more effective. We want to do so much. Yeah, that's a good thing. But there's a process. There's a commitment. There is an investment that we need to put in to be where we ought to be or where we want to be. If you want to see the goodness and the greatness of God, go and love the man on the street, and you will see what God will do. If you want to see greatness and goodness of the Lord, go and help someone who needs help, and then you will say, wow, because God is glorified in those moments. We can't grow as a church if we just wish. We must be ready and willing to put our lives on the line. We must be ready and willing to invest our lives, our prayer lives, our commitment, our resource, our ability, our time. We must put in. We must put in. You see, sometimes the African in me wants to preach. My mother Julie, one day, should just allow me to preach from there. I'm saying is that let's consider what we are putting in. Let's consider our investment. Let's consider what we are doing to see the goodness of the Lord, to see the greatness of God. We will surely see God, beloved. We will see His goodness, in His greatness. Even in these challenging times, we can still pursue the goodness of the Lord. But it's not just wishful thinking. We must be ready to walk the talk and walk the walk. We must be ready to do something. That's what Jesus is reminding John and James, that it's not just wishing that you want to be here and there. It is about readiness to commit, to do something today. And then eventually, your work, your commitment, your giving, your surrender, your readiness to serve will usher you in a place of glory. We want to see the glory of God. And God says, come on and share in my glory. The glory of God has been offered unto all humanity. Not only us here, but everybody is invited to experience the goodness of God, the greatness of God. But there's a process. There's a process that we need to commit to. And I want to remind you, beloved, that this process is starting from the bottom. Is when we lay down our lives and begin to wash each other's feet. It's when we begin to lift each other. It's when we become ready to do the harder part of servanthood, scrubbing the floor of the church, scrubbing the floor of everyone so that everybody can feel lifted up. In other words, are you ready to be the stepping stone for others? Are you ready to be the stairs through which someone is lifted up? Because when you do, God will not forget. In the process of providing the stairs for someone to go up, for someone to be encouraged, for someone to be lifted, God will also show you His goodness, His greatness. St. Michael's, it's time to walk the talk and to walk the walk, which is to be servants, to be ready to invest our lives. Amen.